Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. Today, we are talking about just all things legislative. This was the legislative update episode, and it was hosted by Sean Heim, who is the director of OSSBA.
The Oklahoma something?
Man, we should have probably looked that up before we got started.
I knew what it was right before I started talking.
Obviously, you can find him on the Twitter at Sean Heim, all one word. If you're on the Twitter and looking for people to follow, you can follow at ebarn73 or at teachfromhere. Mm-hmm. That's me and my favorite co-host in the whole wide world.
That's right.
Scott Hazelwood.
It's the Oklahoma State School Boards School Board Association. I knew that.
You're good.
So, yeah. And we're pretty much the only co-hosts.
Yeah.
Of podcasts, well, which you automatically should make us each other's favorites.
Yeah, you didn't need to say that part.
Oh. What it I meant to say sense. Was... We would love your review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you are listening to this podcast.
We sure would. And while we appreciate those of you that have left a review, we would like more reviews. And there are more of you... Uh-huh. I'm pointing to you. There are more of you that listen and are leaving reviews.
You pointed at me because this is a podcast and they can't see you.
Okay. Well, if you find yourself with 5 extra minutes, listener, it's not even 5 minutes. If you find yourself with a minute and a half extra time, go ahead and just click into the reviews portion of whatever device you're using and whatever app you're using and leave us a review.
Yep. And the podcast is meant to be shared. So my challenge to you, dear listener, is to share it with 2 people this week. How about that?
I like it.
I do too. Shall we dive in?
Let's do it. Okay. The first question was, the OK leg passed teacher pay raises ranging from $5,435 to $8,820 based on experience and degree level. What impact do you think the pay raise and subsequent increase in retirement benefits will have on the Okla Ed teacher shortage?
I just want to put it out there that for this particular chat, I think I occupied the role of Debbie Downer. And in fact, Dr. Cobb, and I owned it. I said, I feel Debbie Downer here. And he gifted me with a Debbie Downer gif, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, well,
so
I missed this chat. I cannot believe I was sitting around and just playing with the kids, and you know, they know.
What? Having a home life with your children? So my response was something along the lines of, I don't think it'll do much.
Well, darn it, Scott.
I mean, I just don't think it will. I mean, when you look at first-year teacher pay and you compare it to Texas, it's still significantly less.
Still significantly less, yeah.
Significantly.
It is a step in the right direction, in my opinion, but you're right. It's still not enough. However,
is a step in the right direction. Yeah, yes, and I am grateful. But here's the thing. I was listening to a podcast this morning from our good friend Passing Notes.
Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie Hinton. And the kindergarten teacher that she was talking with had 26 kids in her class and has had up to 30. That was not addressed.
Right.
It wasn't addressed. So tell me. And with research coming out that indicates that smaller class sizes equals greater learning for all involved, you tell me how we made a difference. And I say, no, we did not.
Sorry. We didn't make... No, I appreciate it.
Because I'm grateful for a raise. Way overdue. But there is other issues that needed to be sort of, kind of, a little bit addressed, and yeah. just completely were not.
And they weren't. No, you're right. You're right. I went with Joy Hoffmeister's tweet on this one because I tend to take the devil's advocate, the Debbie Downer role. I liked what she had to say in that there are currently 32,000 certified teachers. You, Scotty, are one of them who no longer teach in Oklahoma Public School.
That's correct.
We surveyed those educators, and 31% said they'd consider returning with competitive pay. And competitive to whom or what, you know, that was not put in there. And, you know, if it's competitive to Texas, then we still have a ways to go before you come back to the classroom. But 31% of those 32,000 teachers is a pretty darn good chunk of teachers. It's the amount of teachers that we've gotten in emergency certified positions mm-hmm. over right. the last 2 years.
Well, my counter argument to that would be that's only one third of them too. So So there's something going on there that's more than money.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree.
But yeah, that's, I mean, 32,000 people. Imagine if we could get all those 32,000 people that could back into our schools.
Right. Well, and I've got two friends. One's a speech path now, or she's in school to be a speech path, but she keeps her certification updated. And I've got another one who is teaching for community college here. I mean, so for the biggest reason there, it is that the discipline or lack thereof in the public school, she would much rather teach at the community college the math classes that she's teaching than teach in the high school where people are fussing at her all the mm-hmm. time and she's got high demands and little desire from the students and the you know people that surround her in the public school system. So she's now at a community college where if they don't show up and they don't do their work, it's kind of on them. You know,
right.
she could only do so much. So, but she keeps her certification good to go for public school just in case.
Just in case. Well, here's the other thing about Joy's tweet. Currently, there are 32,000 certified teachers no longer teaching. 31% said they consider returning with competitive pay. The legislation that passed doesn't address those 32,000 people. It only addresses the people currently in system.
Yeah.
With a small handful of others. I think Rick Cobb had tweeted at some point in time that with the extra money they're getting into their general revenue fund, which they can spend on personnel, he could fully staff one building. Like back to where it was staffed before all the shenanigans.
Before all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so I appreciate Joy. She is very much an advocate for our teachers, and I'm thankful that she shared that tweet because it's important that we understand, you know, what that survey collected back.
Well, and it's important to show that there are people that feel that it's worthwhile to keep their certification current,
right?
But have 32,000.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an insane number.
Yeah.
It's what crazy. Would we do with 32,000 teachers if they all decided to return to education this next year?
Be crazy, wouldn't it?
I mean, what? Just saying.
That could change a lot of things. So I went with Adrienne Ford. She is at Mrs. AJ4, and that's the number, not the letters. She said, not enough. One of our finest will be heading to Texas for a job fair on Monday. She just doesn't feel secure enough that it will happen, and I have to echo.
Yeah.
I chose this tweet because I think that's how I feel. I hope this is the first of several steps. But I feel so jaded in what has basically been my career as a teacher.
Right.
I mean, that's 18 years. So, question two. The OCLA Ed budget was increased by almost 20%, $481 million for 2018-2019. What effect will the new budget increase have on Oklahoma?
So, on Oklahoma as a whole, I mean, here's where I'm just like, I don't know. On Oklahoma as a whole, I would hope that we would see a boost in what kind of students are being put out based on this 20% increase. But on Oklahoma as a whole, I don't know that that's a drop in a bucket for a state to benefit right now.
The other part of this is that this 20% increase basically does not address higher ed. And so if you want to bring in better paying jobs, you need an educated workforce. And if you want an educated workforce, you need to make those that are wanting to go to higher education, it has to be cost effective for them. I mean, I don't want to send my own children to OU or OSU or USAO or Southwestern or UCO or any place, any of our public institutions, and they come out of that with, you know, $100,000 of debt.
Right.
I mean, so we have to decide as a society and as a state what's important to us, because if you don't fund higher ed, they have to get that funding from elsewhere.
No,
and so it comes back to tuition and fees.
Yes. No, very much. And I sat in on a concurrent enrollment meetup last night here in Tulsa, and for juniors and seniors, the community college here will cover tuition for 6 hours per semester, and they're including that summer semester as well. Mm. So those kids could get three semesters of college each. That's 18 hours of school your junior year, and another 18 your senior year. Like, where's that funding coming from? Do you know anything about that, Scotty?
That I don't know.
I mean, that's a lot of college to give away. Mm-hmm. You know, and it must be earmarked, you know, somehow for that school. But gosh, we should definitely be getting kids taking advantage of this free college while in school if they can handle it.
I was talking with I'm teaching a class right now, and I was talking with my students about college, and I go, we kind of have to decide if this is something that we want to support or not, because if we want our state to be better in the long term, you need an educated society.
Agree.
And so we have to as a state decide, do we want to pass legislation about sunscreen for elementary school students?
You're getting ahead here. I'm getting ahead.
Or do we want to try and figure out a way to make higher education more equitable for those that can't afford it?
Right.
So anyway, I went with Trey Kirkpatrick on this. He is at WDTK33. He said, it will be nice to get some new books, but most of the money is tied up in personnel costs. And I think that's true. I think that totally sums up what this aid package did. And it's not new personnel costs. It's just existing, as my understanding goes.
Right.
What was your tweet?
I went with Deborah Thornton on this one. She is at DJ Thornton. She said, if it has dedicated funding, it will be a positive change. But if they keep trying to undo the good that they've done, it will hurt every other agency, which in turn will hurt. You know, I mean, you can't rob from Peter to pay Paul and expect that, you know, it's Peter going to glorify the whole cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're stealing from one to pay for another, then you're going to find a downfall in another place.
Right. The whole thing. It's like a house of cards. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gosh darn.
I know. Well, what should be the Oklahoma legislative goal for a long-term funding plan?
So,
I didn't answer. I put my tweet in there, and it was your tweet. You got to the sheet ahead of me.
I did.
And so I didn't answer this one because this was the best answer, in my opinion.
I think the long-term legislative goal...
give it to me.
We need to focus on building in enough K-12 dollars to lower class sizes. That means hiring more teachers. And then to go with that, we need to build in a way to lower the cost in some fashion for college. Or Not everybody should go to college, right? We've both taught students that don't need to be anywhere near a college, but they also deserve a post-high school education of some sort.
Right.
And making those options more equitable as well. So what should our long-term goal be? Figure that part out. I don't know.
That's one, I think teachers, by nature, they've got the details when they need them, but we have to be able to see a whole picture. We have to see, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We have to look down the road in order to get the details filled in. And I think we are globally thinking about this. And I found I felt that way when we were trying to decide, do we walk, do we not? You know, in the weeks leading up to the actual walkout,
right.
It's like, we've got to come together on three things. And here again, I also think we've got to come together on a couple of things. And that's why I thought Chuck's tweet here, and I'll let you read it, was so good, because he's like, hey, priority one is this, and then we go to do this. And they are still very, you know, broad priorities, but we've got to prioritize, and we've got to have a step one. And once step one is done, we move to step two.
Right.
When it comes to this stuff, or we are going to be in the same position again.
I mean, remember, we were both in that. Did you go to the walkout session at Ed Camp this summer?
Oh yeah.
And so for those that weren't able to go to Ed Camp OKC, there was a walkout session, and there was a group of, I mean, there was maybe 35 or 40 people in the room, and those 40 people couldn't agree on a top three list.
Nope.
They could barely agree on a top 10 list. I finally walked out when I was like, well, this is no good, because there's just too much going on here. Like, there's not even consensus among
30 people.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. So I understand, you know, where Senator Treat was like, I don't know who I'm negotiating with or what, because I hear different things all the time. Like, I feel his frustration there. And as an educator, I feel that frustration, because we're so disjointed. There was no, I don't know. Anyways, so Chuck Pack, he is at Chuck_Pack. He said, our first priority is to fill our legislators willing to work together to find solutions in the June primaries. Then we focus on November elections. Okla Ed teachers are not policy wonks. We present the challenges we face, and our leaders should present the solutions. And that's where I agree with him. I don't want to elect a Republican who's only going to work with Republicans and not do anything with Democrats. And I don't want to elect a Democrat who's only going to work with Democrats and not do anything with Republicans. And so in some parts, the way that this education funding bill occurred, there was a lot of when both sides finally started talking to each other, this package came out that reached the supermajority needed. But when it was just the Republicans presenting their ideas and just the Democrats presenting their ideas, nothing happened. So when I see campaign slogans like, I'm a Republican and I'm willing to, you know, and I am not willing to work with Democrats. I don't want you. I need somebody that can work. You don't have to. You just have to be able to work with them on. I don't know. Anyway, so I love Chuck's.
It drives me a little crazy, and this is just like, I don't know. This is why I can't get into politics. Like, I want to so badly. I want to get in there and you know, I'm a problem solver. I want to just problem solve away. But it drives me crazy when we go in with agendas mm-hmm. and we have no stinking clue. I mean, you see this all the time. Like, people, let's just take the president of the United States, right? That's a pretty big, everybody knows what the president's supposed to do, right?
Right.
These people, and I'm only basing all of this on the television shows that I watch, like The West Wing and Madam Secretary. Anyway,
says no basis in that left-leaning CNN or that right-leaning Fox News.
No, but they make all these campaigns and they do these debates, and this is what I'm stand on, and this is my agenda, and da 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 da. You have no flipping clue what the job is, because you're not sitting in, you know, the sit room, and you have no clue what the world is going. You know, you're not allowed to know until you become the president. And so put your flipping agendas away and put together, like, I mean, who was it? It was, I want to say, I'm going to really muff this, but I want to say it was FDR had like the 14-point plan, like, and it's great, but if your job is to fix Oklahoma, stop with your agenda. I get that you want to make it so that we can apply our own sunscreen. But
you're
really?
Getting ahead of yourself.
Is that a law? And I wrote a blog post a couple of years ago when they said we can now carry sword canes and daggers. And I'm like, really? Like,
okay, like that's
come important. On, man. Like, are you kidding me? Your job is to fix Oklahoma and put together things that make our state worth coming to,
right.
worth employing, worth, I mean, cane swords, daggers, and sunscreen?
I brought my cane sword to work today, so thank
you.
I've
got my dagger just, sitting out there, so.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes some just weird legislation creeps up and it, I don't know, you're just like, well, what was that for?
No, like, my husband and I joke sometimes.
Like, why do we need legislation that says teachers can't have their OEA membership dues deducted from their paycheck? And only teachers.
Right, right.
Like, why do we have, like, I get that we're an anti-union state. I have no problem with that, but make that happen for everybody then, if it's that big of a deal to you.
My husband and I joke that some of those things that are passed in bills and into law or amended, I mean, that's somebody trying to get their name written into history.
Like, you may be right there.
State of Oklahoma in 19... Anyway.
So, question four. The threat of a veto referendum to eliminate new revenue approved this session is creating a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
How strong do you believe the anti-tax increase sentiment is, and how do we keep the focus on the benefits of investing in education and other core services? Here's my take on that one.
Do it.
Scares the hell out of me.
Because, right?
Because our state is so conservative and so anti-tax. I mean, for Pete's sake, we can't raise taxes in this state because it's got to have a 75% vote by both chambers. And as an electorate, we voted on a state question that said that's how we want to operate our government.
Right.
So I know that some of our administrators in chat who I respect and admire are very positive. There's no way this thing gets on the ballot. I'm scared to death it will. And once it's there, I'm scared to death it'll go through.
No,
I mean, we tried a 1 cent sales tax a year ago and it got shot down like it was the worst thing of all time. And this is significantly more harmful if you look at it from the tax side.
I think if you think that this can't get put on the ballot, you are living in a dreamland because, and I really did have to just turn off Facebook for a while mm-hmm. because I was so engrossed in the teacher walkout, everything that was going on around it, but then like trying to see what the other side said, and the other side was anti. And I mean, there was a group that was very supportive of teachers, but didn't want their taxes
right.
raised. And then there was a whole other group, which I think this bill is, or this referendum is coming from, that were like anti-teacher, mm-hmm. anti-taxes, mm-hmm. anti-change, pro like audit, right?
Right. Right.
And so I'm for auditing and finding if there is you know, a place that we are wasting. My husband and I audit our bills and our income regularly and realize that we spend way too much money eating out. You know, if we want to change what we're doing, you have to take a look at where your gross spending is and where your overspending is, right?
Right.
So I'm for audits. But a large group of people in Oklahoma make much less money than teachers.
Right.
And we're asking them to fund the teacher pay and if there are no dramatic results, and that's my biggest worry. If there are no dramatic results after the taxes get raised and everything goes into place and they're like, we gave you a 20%, you know, increase in your funding and you still produce jack stuff. You know, I think that's going to be a huge problem.
I don't know, but when, I mean, if you look at ACT test data, Oklahoma finishes basically in the middle. I mean, so what do you look at to say that it's improvement?
Right.
You know, I mean, do we look at it in improvement when when instead of being number one in incarceration in funding corrections, we aren't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, Joe Q Public is looking at the school that they send their kid to report card. That's what they're looking at.
Right, which is a flawed representation.
I know, but nobody is digging into this. Let's be honest. Nobody goes out to vote. Therefore, nobody is digging into this information.
And I know that my elected representative, who's terming out, but he's a big audit guy. Let's find ways. Let's run audits. And I don't ever remember seeing him ask for an audit of my school district that he represents or the State Department of Education. And he's represented two different districts in the Oklahoma City metro area. He's terming out. Like, he's been there long enough to have asked
to go through
the process of getting audits approved. So
if he really wanted it.
If you really want these things, why aren't they happening like all the time? Why aren't we reading about them all the time?
Right.
You know, instead, what do? We hear about one state agency that sends a pinky wiggle of trouble up. We audit the heck out of that one. We find the issues, and everybody's like, see, look at all this waste. Well, you've been there. Ask for these audits all the time. You should be asking for them all the time if we have that much waste. I just don't know that there's that much waste in what we're doing right now. And, oh, by the way, in any bureaucracy, there's going to be waste because of all the freaking regulations and red tape that has been mandated.
How much went into, I mean, and if you're dissecting the legislative session from January to May and deciding how much hourly pay went into deciding on cane swords a couple of years ago,
right,
and how much hourly pay went into deciding whether or not we can apply our own sunscreen this year, sorry, getting ahead again, like, yeah, there's waste.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying.
All right, so anti-tax sentiment, yes,
yes.
Or no? Who was your tweet?
Kim Blodgett.
Okay.
And she said, the people that should vote, don't vote. I was at the walkout with some that said, I'm not registered in my area. I have zero tolerance for this. Fix it. Until pro-education people are voting, we're screwed. And she said in this red state.
Yeah.
I think that would go for any state. Until the people that are directly impacted by what we're trying to do here are putting in the minimal effort,
right,
we're all screwed.
And I think Claudia Swisher has been a great voice on this, and she's been able to identify some statistics which show that educators are very, very low percentage turnout at all votes. And the other thing that's just kind of natural about the voting process is sometimes in primaries you get people that are a little bit more left or right leaning, and but so primaries tend to only pull out those left or right leaning voters, those really strong. And so as a result, sometimes a good candidate doesn't always make it through primaries because of the low turnout.
Well, and I saw several people during the walkout say that they were going to go redo their voter registration to vote so that they could vote, you know, Democrat if they were Republican or Republican if they were Democrat,
so that
they could try to thwart that as well. But
yeah. Anyway. So I went with Jennifer Seitzinger here. She's at room 20. Awesome. She said the threat is real. We need to inform our communities and help them to understand why investing in education is good for all of us. And she used a word there, investing. You know what happens when you invest?
Tell me.
Well, you put some resources into a thing.
Okay.
And then you have to wait for time to pass with your resources in that thing for your resources to grow and mature and reveal their end result. It is not an immediate thing. An investment is not an immediate deal. An investment takes time. And so if we want our education to be better, we have to make an investment in that so that 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we can look back and go, that was the right decision. Boy, howdy, are we so much better.
Right.
Question five.
Yeah, question five. Sorry. What was the best Oklahoma Ed legislation passed in 2018, and why is it important to you?
So I saw a lot of things there.
Yeah.
Some people said the budget, and some people said the pay raise. And again, I'm Debbie Downer. And because I was on the ball this week, I went with Rick Cobb, who is at Grendel Rick, and he said, clearly, the answer is the right to apply your own sunscreen at school. To which you replied. And what tweet did you pick for that one?
Damn you, Scott! That was twice. I was like, I didn't pick a tweet there.
You didn't, but you put it in purple. Yes. Purple letters, like
two, and bolded it.
And bolded, so you could see, and that. All capsed it with 4 exclamation points. I mean, I've sent my sunscreen to school with my children. I didn't know that I needed a law to tell me that it was okay to have my kids apply sunscreen. So why is that a thing?
Why is that a thing?
I mean,
and how long did that?
Okay. So, okay. Let me ask you this.
Do it.
Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, the Senate passed the constitutional carry bill, which means that I don't have to pay a fee or take a class. I can just carry a weapon.
Right.
Without any fear of repercussion. So we passed that law. And then we pass a law that says it's okay to apply sunscreen at school. So what's the difference in those two things? So, like, you're telling me it's okay to conceal and carry without taking any tests, but now you're also telling me it's okay to have sunscreen at school without taking any tests. Like, what's the difference there?
No, this is what makes Oklahoma a joke. And I kind of hope, no, I totally hope that the two people that you share this podcast with, the challenge that Scott did, I sincerely hope it is the Oklahoma legislator listening right now. Because that, my friends, and hopefully the key legislators that we, you know, have apples next to are like, yeah, you're right, that was ridiculous. I can't even believe we spent time on that.
And I voted for
the person. I know. But you have to. I mean, if it's there and you're there, it's going to get voted on. So there's that. It's not like you're going to withdraw your vote for that. But to the person who wrote up that bill and argued it on the floor, I hope you listen and hear that I think that was the biggest joke of legislation passed in 2018.
I just can't believe that we're having that conversation.
I can't believe we're having that conversation. And we've spent a lot of time having that conversation. Sorry.
I noticed that the sun is out this morning, and now that I have permission from the state legislature to send sunscreen to school, I think that's what I'm going to do.
No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do, because I live in Oklahoma, I'm going to take my right and use it not to put on sunscreen. I don't want sunscreen.
I'm making a new law next year, sunscreen. Oh my God. Question 6, elections. How are you researching this year's candidates for office and sharing information about their position on issues important to Oklahoma? And we've kind of shared back and forth a little bit about, you know, I look for people willing to work. That's super important to me.
Like, yes.
I don't want you to just come in straight Republican the whole way down.
Like, please.
Please have dialogue, for the love of God.
Right. I picked Ange Little's tweet here. Several OCLA-ED people that I do trust, they are administrators within OCLA-ED. I know she gets information from Sean Heim as well. They have put together a running list.
Yes.
And I know that there are other people that don't agree necessarily with her list, and that's fine. And if you don't, you know, please know that
robust debate is fine.
Right. That's fine if you don't agree, as long as you are also doing research, right? So she's got a list that she's put together, and we've got it in the show notes here. If you want to go and find it, it's on the question 6 in her Facebook. Okay for Public Ed is listed there, and you can see all she's putting in there are people for education.
She puts them all in there, but she tries to identify which ones.
Right. Yeah. It, she does not care whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Right.
As long as they are pro education.
Yeah, that's what she
or say that they are. I mean,
and she tries really hard to vet all these people, which is that's a daunting task. Especially if people don't have like a voting record to look at. You know, when you're looking at a seated legislator, it's a lot easier to identify those that have been more supportive of local ed than those that are running for the first time. It's hard to identify,
right.
You know.
Right.
But she works really hard at that, and for that I am thankful.
And I've seen a lot of people throwing shade at her. She doesn't get paid. It's not like
no.
She's some sort of, you know, lobbyist or anything else. Like, thank you, Angela. Yeah. I'm just going to say that publicly. Whether you're right or wrong in some of these candidates, like, thank you for trying, and thank mm-hmm. you for being willing to share that information.
You can at least have discussion over it.
Yes.
Like, she's laying some groundwork for us to be able to talk about these different candidates.
Right.
And that is super important.
Yep.
So I went with Lauren Pena. She is Lauren_Pena16. She said, this one is so hard for me. I feel like I need spreadsheets just to keep them all straight. Hey, guess what, Lauren? Angela's got your spreadsheet.
She's got a spreadsheet. that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in the show notes.
That's
just
right.
Click on the little link. Well, question seven. In 2016, only 22% of primary voters were under the age of 50. What will you do to inspire Oakland Ed parents and young adults to vote? Ooh.
Primary voters tend to be more on the edge. Why? Because they're older.
Man, exactly. Okay, so I went with Chuck here. And Chuck, I don't know if I've seen you in any of the other Oakland Ed conversations. Thank you for contributing here. Mm-hmm. I looked him up. He is in Tahlequah. Thank you very much. If you've been lurking and you're just now finding a way to participate, participate more. And if you're a participator from now on because you're hooked, thank you.
Hey, guess anyway. Who else lives in Tahlequah?
I know, but are you going to say the same person?
Dr. Searcy.
Yes, yes. And so part of me wondered if he is one of her, you know, groupies or you know, anyway, she got him in here. But he said, I have a birthday present for every 18-year-old I know, a voter registration application. I've given it to countless voters during the course of my career. Perhaps I'll start giving them to other adults they live with.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Oh, my word. Yes. Why not give that to every kid that turns 18?
I think a great way to and I saw, I think, a conversation sparked by a Kimber Blodgett tweet. But maybe when you come enroll your kid for school, you have voter registration. Because
genius.
Although not everybody that attends the school, you know, maybe lives in that area. Because, you know, you can train. Hey. We have school choice in Oklahoma. You can transfer your students to just about any school you want to. But most of the students that attend my kids' schools live
we'll
in those
areas.
We'll vote within that school district. So, hey, let's get them some voter registration cards when they come in. Hey, have you registered to vote? Let's make it easy.
Right.
And then put that together with what Steve Gilliland said. He is at STV_Gilliland. He said, do something different. Make Election Day a holiday on the school calendar.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this, Election Day comes during basketball season. And if you're a basketball coach, unless you do early voting or something like that, there's no escaping to go do a vote.
Right. I saw Anne Beck had said something like, I'll offer to sub for my teacher that day. Mm-hmm, even if it's a half day or, you know, whatever, that's genius. And so if you are not an educator and listening, thank you. But, you know, make that something that you consider as well for, you know, your local teacher.
You can also, in Oklahoma, provide some information to your county election board, and you can do a mail-in ballot. And although those may not be counted right away on election night, you are still voting and they are still counted.
Yeah, for sure.
Question eight, how important is the role of Oakland Ed District schools in sharing information creating opportunities for employees to become stronger public education advocates? What strategies can districts pursue to encourage strong, educated, and effective advocacy among employees? And this is I think when I tweeted, all right, 2 weeks ago, we recognized that we needed professional development on ACEs. Last week, we recognized we needed professional development on gifted and talented. Now, this week, we're saying we need professional development on becoming public education advocates. Like, at what point, like, where does it stop?
You know, no, and like, maybe this is something where, like, the principal's weekly newsletter or a weekly email from the principal, bullet points only. I mean, I'm not reading a giant essay each week. I mean, I totally do.
But they can't advocate for a candidate.
No, but they can in that, like OSSBA, if you go to their website, they'll say, hey, this is what's going on this week in Oklahoma legislation. And so just making people aware of, hey, sunscreen is on the ballot this week. And then we can all call up there and say, hey, you ridiculous dweebs, why don't you do something for the budget? I'm so sorry.
The sunscreen deal is over the top. And you know what? I think I saw where Angela Little, she's learned a lot from her journey to this point.
Oh yeah.
And I think I saw where a school had asked her to come in and share with their staff how to do advocacy. Yeah, because she's not a lobbyist, and that's not her career. You know, like some lobbyists, that's what they do. They just, that's their job. They're a lobbyist. You know, like the people at OEA, their job is to lobby. That's what they do. Whether you like how they did it or not, that's another podcast. The same thing with, you know, Angela, like she's gone kind of through the school of hard knocks and has had weird stuff happen to her because of her advocacy. So I don't know. And I'm sure she'd be the first to tell you that she's made an oops or two here or there. And this is what I've learned on my journey.
Well, I went with Trey Kilpatrick or Kirkpatrick on this one, and he is at WDTK every day till they, I die. No, you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
No, it's EBK every day, all day till the day I die. So. Okay. Anyway, you guys, I haven't rapped for a while. Anyway, Trey, your at username, your Twitter handle makes me want to rap. He is at WDTK33. He said, Oklahoma Ed must take advocacy seriously. We have seen the effects of being passive in our needs from Oklahoma Ed, in Oklahoma Leg. Districts should keep teachers apprised of bills being introduced and moved through. And that is all I'm saying. Like, you don't say, hey, vote for this person, don't vote for this person, but just keep us informed. And in that weekly newsletter, send that out to parents as well. I don't know why it just has to stay in-house. Just saying.
I think that's one of the issues we have in general as Oklahoma Ed advocates, is we tend to fuss at each other about the issues we know already exist.
Right.
You know, like Angela's got an amazing Facebook group, but how much of the information they share in there is getting out of that Facebook group? Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe a lot. It may not be very much. I mean, just like sometimes with Oklahoma Ed, we yell at each other about the ills. How are we getting this message out of our bubble? Like, it needs
to get... Well, we'll ask that question in a few questions.
Okay, sounds good. So Nancy Williams, who is at Nancy_N Williams, said, any teacher that doesn't understand the importance of voting this year doesn't need to be teaching.
I am.
Yeah.
That could have been a boom sauce.
It could have been, and I almost picked it for that. But, yeah, there you go. Pretty blunt.
Yeah. Well, question 9. Mm-hmm. How can Oklahoma Ed districts and schools better engage parents and the community at large in becoming strong public education advocates? Scotty, I picked your tweet on this one.
Well, you know, thank you.
This is why every single teacher needs to tell their story through blogging or some other social media. Share with those outside of education. Mm-hmm. I kind of put blogging on the back seat, in the back seat to do this podcast because it kind of keeps me a little busier than I thought it would do. But so this is one of my ways of sharing information. I hope of the like 700 listeners. Oh, I mean, 2 listeners we have.
Did somebody die? I thought we were up to 3.
Yeah. No. So we've got like 700 listeners each week. And thank you again for listening. I hope some of them are, you know, our teachers who are hearing when we say you've got to get out there. But I hope you're sharing this with your parents. I hope Oklahoma legislators are listening. I hope, and I know we've got listeners outside of Oklahoma too, so just bear with us on this one, guys. But also heed our advice, because this is going on in your state. And if you haven't had a sunscreen or a cane sword or a dagger law pass, it's coming, believe you me, because they need to write their name into history. Just saying. Okay. Yeah.
But super important, because if we don't share what our experiences are in the classroom, then people who have gone through the education ringer
Yeah.
are suddenly experts because they had this teacher that did that thing and they hate it, or they did this teacher and that thing and they loved it. And there's no understanding of everything that goes on behind the scenes. So it's the same thing, you know, when you listen to the Okla Said podcast, you hear Aaron and I talk, but you don't see what goes on before it gets there. Like, not that we spend 1,000 hours on it, but you know, it takes 2 or 3 hours a week to organize and run, but you don't see that. Just like your students don't see the work that goes into your lesson prep.
Exactly.
They just magically have the materials on their desk for that thing that you're going to do.
Right.
And so that's the same thing with John Q. Public and your teaching. And it you can even be reflective in that, which improves your practice. So
right.
All right. I went with Trey Kirkpatrick again. He's been all over the old podcast today. And he said, share the effects of Okla Legs bills locally. Stakeholders need to know specifically how bills will affect their schools or their students in school. It is important for Okla Ed to enlist the support of our stakeholders.
Amen.
And that's super important. All right. Yeah. Question 10. Finally. How are you sharing your school story with local lawmakers and other key influencers in your community?
That's a good question. I went with Chauncey Lohr here. Again, he's not even out there yet, but listen to his
somebody
tweet
needs
here.
To get this guy.
Hire this guy for real. Mm-hmm. He says social media, extra school curricular activities, professional development opportunities. Anyone who's willing to listen.
I bet Chong would maybe even talk to people who aren't willing to listen.
Maybe so.
I get a feeling that he may just share experiences, whether you want to hear them or not. So I'm with Dr. Jason James here. He's at James409Jason. He said, now, hashtag, I think it's Alec, P.S., but it looks like Alex, uses students to invite lawmakers to community events, academic banquet. We have a Vals and Sals invite our OK Leg, all sports banquet. We have our seniors who are registered voters invite lawmakers. It works. Build a personal relationship and watch it grow.
So when Mark McCullough was our House of Representatives person, he would come to some of the events that I put on with my students.
Awesome.
So far, haven't gotten Mr. Lawson to come.
Yeah.
But maybe that'll be something we can get him into next year. I don't know. Keep inviting. Yep.
Keep inviting. So there you go. There's your Okla Ed legislative update, which is the first update we've had since the teacher walkout.
No, it's been a while, so I'm very pleased that we were able to get into some of this as the session is coming to a close.
Mm-hmm. Yes, anyway. Yes, indeed. All right, boom sauce.
Say it, because it was amazing.
So I went with Rick Cobb again, but he retweeted Kathy Dunn and then did a quote. He quoted and added some stuff in there. So Kathy Dunn, who is at Kathy S. Dunn, said in all caps, know your candidates. Kay Stitt, which is it Kevin Stitt, I think?
Yeah, I think okay.
On Flashpoint said, I wouldn't have voted for or signed the teacher pay raise. I signed Tom Coburn's pledge. I would not raise any taxes. Teachers are on my heart. I want to, in all caps, encourage them. Flashpoint for you, Mr. Stitt. Teachers don't need encouragement. Which, I love that tweet. Bang on. I think if you sign these pledges that you would never raise taxes, you're immediately eliminating options should you need to use them at some point in time for the government to continue working. Like, you're really hamstringing yourself.
Right.
So Dr. Cobb retweeted that and added this comment. As a rule, we shouldn't vote for people who sign pledges to other people. This leaves them compromised in their ability to serve the state.
Boom.
Yeah. I mean, right? Like, if I sign a pledge, Aaron, no matter what I do, I'm going to do the best thing I can just for this group of people. Like, right. I really don't want people, I don't want to vote for somebody that's just going to sign a pledge just to only support Okla Ed either.
No.
Like, that doesn't do any good because for other services. Because the rest of Oklahoma, services. Like,
exactly.
I need a well-funded, well-organized, well-ran transportation system and health system and education system and law enforcement. And,
yeah, and this is another reason I could not be a good legislator. I don't want to be an advocate for anything other than mm-hmm. education right now. And I think that my brain would explode having to know everything about everything.
Yeah, it would be hard. But that's the thing. We get to advocate, and the people that we vote for have to figure out those ways.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So next week should be more fun. Not next that this week, wasn't.
Right, right. We had a blast here. Next week is the K-20 Center mm-hmm. moderating a chat again, and it is on authenticity in the classroom instruction.
Yep. Mm. They've got some great stuff on their website for FREE. What's that spell?
For reduced educators educating.
Free. Yep, free.
Free. All right.
And that's going to be Sunday at 8.
Central Standard Time.
Central.
For all of you Standard that are listening outside of Oklahoma.
That's right. For our dear friend, Mr. Bennett, who is listening in Virginia, and our other dear friend, Principal Nyberg, who's listening in Wyoming.
Black Apple, California.
Black right. Apple. Is she California Ooh. Or is she Washington, D.C.-ish?
Oh, dang it. And I was going to say Atlanta. We've got people from yeah, that's right. across that's right. the nation.
So 8 Central Standard Time. You know who you are.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, educators. Yep. You know what to do.
Yep.
Why are you interrupting me?
Sorry. I was just trying to dominate the world. My timing's weird. We don't do this very often together.
No.
Is that a bird?
You hear it the whole time. Is it going
I
the whole
I just heard
time?
It just now. My okay. refrigerator was going the whole time, too. That's what's running around in there.
I don't hear it.
Hey. We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.